Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Sullis. Retrofitting and sustainability are the future of construction. Visit sullis.ie/greenskills to find your course.
Good morning and welcome to the programme. Today, winter weather day trippers are warned to stay away from snowy mountains, and we'll have the latest on falling temperatures too. As Morocco becomes the first African nation ever to compete in a World Cup semi-final, we will look ahead to their clash against France and hear from some of the Moroccan community here. The future of living, Phil Smith from UCD explores Saudi Arabia's plan for a 170-kilometre linear city, which would house 9 million people. We'll also hear about an animal rights row in Spain over the use of camels and reindeer in Christmas processions. And Adam Maguire looks at the benefit of the Christmas bounce for some businesses around the country. Our text number is 51551. Our email address, todaycb@rte.ie. On Twitter, we're at Today with Claire. First this morning, there's significant unease within the Green Party about an overhaul of planning laws brought to Cabinet by the Housing Minister Dara O'Brien yesterday. The measures would limit environmental groups from taking judicial reviews, a move which reportedly prompted Green Party ministers Catherine Martin and Roderick O'Gorman to raise issues with access to justice at the government's meeting yesterday. Now, in a moment, I'll be joined by Tom Phillips, who's a planning consultant and adjunct associate professor in architecture and planning at UCD, and Jamie Brunkow, who's communications officer with the environmental pillar. But first, Jack Horgan-Jones, political reporter with the Irish Times, is going to explain all of this to us. Firstly, good morning, Jack.
Good morning, Claire.
So we'll talk about the unease and the reservations that we're hearing about from the Green Party. But what does this new planning and development bill intend to do, firstly?
Well, it's a major part of the last part of the government's kind of pre-Christmas legislative programme. And I suppose what it attempts to do is reform a planning system which critics, including many in government, say is weighted down with unwieldy legislation that's the guts of 20 years old and too susceptible to court challenges, and I suppose in the round just not really fit for purpose. And you had senior ministers out yesterday after cabinet, like Eamon Ryan, which I suppose in one way is surprising given the fact that it was his own ministers who voiced opposition to this around the cabinet table yesterday, as we understand it. But he was making the point that key projects that the government really needs to deliver on in the space of housing and renewable energy and the likes won't be completed if they don't manage to overhaul the planning system, and saying that 3 or 4 year delays, which are often follow from judicial review cases taken against these projects, would mean that the government and by extension the country would miss its targets in these vital areas. So you can see the impetus towards reform. It just seems that the detail is proving to be a little more than controversial.
Yeah, it was broadly flagged for a long time, you know, all of these reforms. So were you surprised then that the Green Party came at cabinet, the ministers, the Green Party ministers, expressed such reservations about this at this stage?
I was, because as you say, Claire, this has been in the ether for quite some time. I mean, nearly every newspaper has reported a version of this, and particularly reported the aspects of it that are proving to be so controversial around the reforms to who can and can't take a judicial review case, who can challenge a planning decision on a point of law. It has been trailed for some time that the scope of who can take a case would be narrowed, and that people would have to demonstrate either, you know, a kind of locus standi, that they would be directly affected, or that an environmental NGO would have to kind of meet certain criteria. Now, the part of this that seems to have captured the public imagination, or certainly led to the backlash from the Green Party, is an attempt to kind of curtail or circumscribe the rights of community organisations or residents groups. Effectively, the documentation that was produced by the government yesterday outlines the example where a residents group would, as a residents group, not be able to challenge be a judicial review, but individuals within that group would be able to take a case either individually or collectively. And that seems to have sparked a lot of the backlash. The concerns the Cabinet raised by Roderick O'Gorman and Catherine Martin relate to access to justice. And then you have backbench TDs, including kind of senior backbenchers like Stephen Matthews, the chair of the Housing Committee, who is going to be conducting pre-legislative scrutiny on this bill when it's published in the new year, coming out and saying that the Green Party will defend the rights of individuals and environmental NGOs, ENGOs as they're known, to take these cases, and that they see it very much as a kind of principled access to justice issue as well as a planning reform one.
And it's attractive for a group to take a challenge because of the shared costs element, is it?
That would seem to be the, one of the issues here, that like the suspicion or the fear is that if you don't give someone the kind of cover of an umbrella organisation, that will act as a disincentive or a headwind to them taking a case because they'd be concerned about being landed with costs. Now, against that, one of the lesser reported aspects of the planning bill, as trailed and as advertised in the documentation produced by government yesterday, is this new cost scheme that would seek to effectively cap costs and control costs within these cases. So it may be the case that in the final reckoning, when we see the detail of this bill, and it is, as I understand, an extremely lengthy bill running to over 600 pages in its draft form, that there may be some kind of mitigating effect, and that, you know, if people can be brought to believe that, you know, costs can be limited, that may mollify them to some extent.
And Jack, just to finish, Dara O'Brien easily survived the motion of no confidence last night. But will it be laid at his door, you know, if there's any hold up here, or if this controversy bubbles into something more? Is it his job to make sure that all of this is agreed before it gets to this stage?
I think it's certainly right, or certainly possible. Like, there is obviously a policy imperative to reform this. You don't get really anyone within government or within the opposition who says the planning system as it's currently constituted is entirely fit for purpose or couldn't do with some form of overhaul or at least some form of refreshing. The problem is that the politics of this don't seem to be squared away, and that's what I and others are struggling to understand, how you could have this thing in gestation for so long, openly being discussed in the newspapers. You know, the Attorney General pulled together a working group on this last summer. This has been going through the works and in the background, and I suppose to a degree in the foreground as well for some time, yet when it comes to Cabinet, not even the draft bill itself, but, you know, at a preliminary stage of that, the politics don't seem to be squared away, and that and therein lies the problem.
All right, interesting on lots of different fronts. Jack Horgan-Jones from the Irish Times, thank you. On the line now, Tom Phillips, Planning Consultant and Adjunct Associate Professor in Architecture and Planning in UCD, and also Jamie Brunkow, who's Communications Officer with the Irish Environmental Network. Tom, to you first, what do you make of these proposals to overhaul the planning system firstly?
I think it's great, and it's badly needed. The planning system is nearly it's 58 years old. It's only had one major facelift in that, and that was either 2000, and it's been flagged for many years since 2016, primarily, and then again in 2021, a commitment to do a root and branch review of the planning system, and it's badly needed. The memorandum that came out yesterday has a very strange adverb in the first paragraph. It says that 30,000 planning applications pass, and it says, quote unquote, smoothly to the system per annum. It's far from smooth. So the planning system needs radical overhaul. We have a planning system that's predicated on the common good. So the first thing about the planning system is it's about people in general. And then it makes a provision for the provision of housing. So the very first piece of the Planning Act and Planning Development Act is to provide for housing. And it's just gotten out of hand that we have people in marches looking for housing, and then another group of people who are trying to hold it up. So it's a case, boils down simply to the housed versus the unhoused. And we have a situation that we cannot build houses if it's constantly being challenged, very rarely on planning grounds, by the way. It's all in minutiae, like how many angels fit in the head of a pin argument. If you look at through all these cases, very few of them ever lose on planning grounds. They're losing on legal niceties or technicalities, whether it's a South Korean Brent goose or a North Korean Brent goose kind of argument.
Yeah, but I suppose the point is that if they are successful challenges, they're successful for a reason.
They are, because the planning system is not a precise science. There's a very good quote in 1998 from the then chairman of the board, Panola, who said that planning is not an exact science, but it's been treated in latter years as if it is an exact science. I mean, some of the things that they're being judicial review is taking place on foot of is down to minutiae, but there's nothing in this plan, what I've read here, that says we're taking away the right of people to object. But people are missing the point here. They're talking about judicial review, which is in the courts. They're not talking about a good or bad planning decision, and that is not, a judge is not there to make a decision whether something is good or bad in planning. They're there to uphold law. So if the success rate of judicial reviews is showing that schemes are losing on technicalities to do with legal matters, then it should be reformed.
Okay, well, let's hear now from Jamie Brunkow from the Irish Environmental Pillar, a non-government organisation. What do you say, Jamie, there to what Tom has asserted? You know, we hear this language used, don't we, about challenges taken to planning decisions, that some of them might be frivolous and that they're happening too often and they in themselves are causing huge delays.
Yeah, good morning, Claire. Good morning, Tom. Yeah, so, you know, first, let me just repeat, because it's worth repeating, we're in a housing crisis, and I think the spirit of this intended overhaul of our Planning Act is welcome, you know, in concept. The problem that we find ourselves with today is that we're again in this rushed period right before the holiday. We have many people that are distracted with Christmas trees and presents and not necessarily focusing on these important details. I would disagree with Tom on one point, that these cases are frivolous. I think the problem is not with the courts and with those decisions that the courts are making. It's with the decisions themselves that are being approved by our planning system. So I think the solution really starts with addressing the quality of those decisions, making sure our board is equipped with the right skills, the attention to detail to avoid successful judicial reviews. That's how we're really going to protect the interests of those who are trying to help get us out of this housing crisis. But also, planning law is at the heart of our environmental protection. These decisions really affect how we shape the landscape and protect and conserve our environment.
And are you concerned about the access to justice elements of this plan?
Oh, absolutely, Claire. Yeah. So it's been well reported this morning. I think the Greens are quite right to express the concern over the access to justice. And I think it's quite right for us as citizens to really expect our leaders to hold the line there, that we have folks that are able to challenge these unlawful decisions when they're made. And so I would agree with what you mentioned earlier as well regarding the cost. So it's a pretty simple point. If you have an individual that is only allowed to pursue a case as opposed to an organization or housing group, or a community organization, rather, the costs can, you know, effectively be spread out across a bigger group of people and become more feasible. So it's a matter of dividing and conquering is what I would say here. It makes it much more challenging for individuals to take up a case if they have to do it on their own, go it alone, and cover all those costs.
Okay. Tom, would you be in favour of that, of dividing and conquering people and defeating them on the cost front so that they can't take a challenge?
No, nobody would. But the point is that it's not. I mean, what happens here is that it's what people, what's written and what people hear. So if you read the memorandum that came out yesterday, it talks about the limiting of grounds for material contravention. So a lot of the reasons why people would go and challenge a housing or a decision from the Planning Appeals Board or a local authority has to do with the fact that the applicant, the developer, might put in an application that wasn't in conformity with the development plan, and they sign a statement called a material contravention statement, and they point out that my scheme doesn't comply with the local authority plan, and the board is allowed to take that on board. But in the new bill that's going to come out, they say they're going to limit the rights of that, and that will take away a lot of concerns of people who are talking about taking judicial review. But the point is that we have a very, very facilitating democratic planning system. So for €20, a person can hold up a scheme. For €220, they can take it to the Planning Appeals Board. That's €240. So you could have a scheme that costs maybe €500,000 or €1 million to put together, a team of 40 or 50 different practices over a year, and can be held up for €20. So this thing about the access to justice, that we're looking at the moment about a referendum about housing, and we have a housing crisis. We've got people sleeping in tents in this country. We've got vacant houses. We've got floors above shops that aren't being used. We have a housing crisis, and people are worrying about niceties in the planning regulations that are to do with minutiae. So I'll give you an example of drawings that don't have dimensions of the piles that go into the ground that no one will ever see. Mm-hmm. And they've been held, and that scheme was shot down because it failed, in quote unquote, to show secant piling with the piles that you big concrete piles to drive in. Like nobody except for worms would ever look at those piles.
But you know, so what you've just said, Tom, is that we have a very facilitating and democratic planning scheme. And to paraphrase, you're then saying down with that kind of thing.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm absolutely not, far from it there. I'm saying that we still have the right of everybody to make an observation to a local authority or the board, whether it be a local authority €20 fee or an appeal to the board for €220 and object to the scheme on planning grounds. What this bill is looking at is saying, should we have a situation that the judicial review, I would argue the judicial review has got out of hand, and it's not all to do with housing, it's to do with every form of development. So I think the board in the last 10 years has had 146 legal challenges, and looking through the reasons why they've won, very few of them have to do with planning grounds, whether it's good or bad or indifferent on planning terms. It's to do with interpretation of a regulation in a very unwieldy document. I mean, the Planning and Development Acts 2000-2022 is a massive tome. What they're trying to do now, and this argument has been done overnight, there's been a huge team, Declan Brazel, the planning consultant, and several barristers and the Attorney General have been looking at this for months, and they've had a planning advisory forum with people from NGOs, people from local authorities, people from residence committees, planning consultants, everybody involved in the planning system have all been debating this for months. So it's not just something that's done overnight, and there's been a lot of debate about this, and Jack was right, it has been flagged in the media, but if you read the document, it doesn't say we're taking the right for people to object. We're just saying that we're going to limit the grounds for a material contravention, and we're going to lead a much more plan-led system. So you're trying to encourage the members of the public to get involved in the plan making process and then stop objecting after the plans come out.
Jamie, I think there's broad agreement that reform of the planning process is necessary. But you know, you remember during COVID, we heard don't let perfect be the enemy of good. And Eamon Ryan says the planning system is too complicated, it's not serving the Irish people, so change needs to happen fast. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, look, I think we're in agreement there regarding there are issues that need to be resolved. I would disagree again, just on one point, that there's been plenty of consultations and scrutiny on this. Yes, the AG began his look at this some time ago, but the outline was published yesterday for this bill. The actual bill itself will not be published until next year. And the bits about judicial review, the cost, access to justice, this has been a slow leak just in recent weeks in the news, and then much more information coming forward this week. So I would disagree that the citizens, the community, the non-governmental organizations have been along for this and have had fair chance to review and evaluate these things. Really, the most problematic thing here is the speed at which we're trying to do this around the holidays again.
So you don't feel that you've been properly consulted? Is that what you're saying?
I do not, and so we saw in the news already that Minister Ryan and the Greens want to look at costs and want to look at this issue of access to justice. I think it is essential that these issues are discussed at length and given the proper attention, and that during the pre-legislative scrutiny that's happening in the next year, we're given an opportunity to provide testimony to the committee to make sure that this is done right. I think fast and furious lawmaking is no way to get these details right. There's no question we have to get some reforms in place for our planning process, but fundamentally, we've got to do it the right way so that we're protecting the environment, we're making good decisions that are not going to be challenged, not going to be taken up for judicial review, and we're going to have a system that works for all Irish.
Jamie and Tom, thank you both for joining us on the programme. Coming up next, we'll get the latest on the weather.
Text 51551, today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.